Menachos Perek Aleph, Mishnah Base 1, 2. Now we go on to say other kinds of invalidations that make a mincha invalid. Nothing to do with what the Kohen is thinking, but just simply it's done in the wrong way. So it says the Mishnah, Achas Minchas Chota V'Achas Kol Menachos. We're talking about a Minchas Chota, which you saw was even susceptible to a Lola Shema, to become invalid, or Kol Menachos, any other Minchas, all the same. Shekamtan Zar. If a non-Kohen does the Kemitza, or for that matter, the Nesina Bakli, Halacha, or Haktara, any of those four steps, if it's done by a non-Kohen, it's invalid. Now, I should point out to you, we said it, and it's really true, that the four steps of a Mincha closely parallel the four steps of a Zevach. But note that the truth is that Shechita by a non-Kohen for a Zevach is fine. And in fact, certain times, like, for example, the Korban Pesach, that was the norm. However, based on Psukim, when it comes to the Korban Mincha, even the Kemitza must be done by a Kohen. If it's done by a Zar, it's Pasul. Same goes for an Onen. An Onen, we're talking here about a Kohen, but he has lost one of his seven relatives from which he is obligated to mourn over. And if he's not a Kohen Gadol, he actually is even to be Metame, even though normally Kohanim can't become Tame. For Tumas Nefesh, for dead corpses, but if it's his close relatives, he certainly may become Tummy. But on the day that his relative dies, one of those seven relatives, we're talking here about his father or his mother, his sister or his brother, his son or his daughter, or his wife. Those seven. I'm talking about a daughter here, who a sister who hasn't got married to another man. So if his relative dies, one of the Zayin Krovim, the seven relatives die, on the day of their death, he is an Onan Midoraisa, and he can't do Avoda, and if he does do any Avoda, the Avoda is Pusel. Okay? Midorabanan Aninas extends into the nighttime after the death, the day of the death, but that's not relevant because there's no Avoda during the nighttime anyways. A Tevul Yom is somebody who was Tamei, who went to the mikveh that day, and now for the rest of the day, he has a vestige of Tumah. Now, sometimes that vestige isn't consequential. Like, for example, a person can't eat Maaser Sheni, the second tithe in Yerushalayim, if he is Tameh, he has to be eaten B'Tahara. But if he has gone to the mikvah, and he's just a Tevul Yom, he still could eat Maaser Sheni. However, the Tevul Yom, the guy who was Tameh, whatever kind of Tumah, okay, but that required him to go to the mikvah, he has a vestige of Tumah, which makes him the equivalent, essentially, of what's called a Sheni L'Tumah, and that means he can convey Tumah to Truma and certainly to Kachim, and therefore he's Tameh, and that vestige prohibits him from participating in any Avod on the base of Mikdash. So if the Tevul Yom participates doing any step of the essential Avodas, he invalidates the whole Korban, and that's that. Same goes for Mechusar Begadim, a Kohen who isn't wearing his proper clothing. Mechusar Begadim means that he is lacking in clothing, meaning the four specific garments that every Kohen is meant to wear when he does the Avoda. That's the Ketones, which is like the tunic, like the shirt. Mechnasayim, that's like kind of like the under, like the boxer shorts. The Mitznefes, which is the turban. And the Avnet, which is like the sash, the belt. Those four are the garments that every Kohen has to wear. And if he's not wearing one of those four garments, then he is not properly dressed and his avoda is invalid, even b'di'evid. That's certainly true. It's also true if he has those four on, but he has extra things on. He's also wearing a fifth garment, or for the matter, he's wearing the four garments, but there's a chatzitza, something interposing between him and his clothing. Again, all those things make it invalid. He has to be dressed exactly in those four garments and nothing else besides those four garments for it to be valid. When it comes to Kohen Gadol, there's actually four more garments he has to wear, that sits, that sort of like golden headband on his forehead, the choshen, like the breastplate, the ephod, I don't know, the apron, and the me'il, that larger tunic, the tchelis tunic that covers essentially the whole body. So those four additional garments must be worn, again, nothing more, nothing less. And if they're not dressed appropriately, then their avoda is pasul, even b'di'evid. Then you have Mechusar Kippurim. Now, Mechusar Kippurim means someone who lacks atonement. This is like a step, even a lesser vestige of Tumah than the person who's a Tevul Yom. The Mechusar Kippurim essentially has a status of what's called like a Shlishi Tumah, effectively, which means, again, he could eat Truma, but he cannot eat Kachim or participate, go into the Beis HaMikdash, do a Avoda for sure. What are we talking about? We're talking about someone who was Tameh, And his tumah purification process doesn't just require going to the mikvah or whatever else. It also requires bringing a korban, an offering, or a series of offerings. And there are four types of tumah people who need to bring korbanos after they finish their purification process, namely the zav, that's the man with mysterious emissions, the zava, the woman who's mysterious bleeding outside of her normal cycle, yoledes, woman who gave birth, and the mitzora, someone who had tzaras. So those four people, after they finish their tahara process, waiting the requisite amount of time, the next, and they go to the mikvah, the next day they must bring a korban to finish their atonement and purification. Until they bring the korban, they remain what's called the mechuzak kippur and have a vestige of tumah. Now remember, you can't bring korbanos at night. So that means they'll be tevul yom until nightfall, and at that point it's too late to bring korbanos. The next morning they can bring korban if they want to. So of course a kohen can't be yoledes, kohanim can't give birth to babies, they can't be zavas because they're not women. But a kohen could be a zav, and he could be a mitzora. So a kohen who is a zav or mitzora does the purification process, but even after going to the mikvah, when he finishes that, the next morning he can bring korbanos. Until he does, he is mechusar kippurim, and if he does avoda, his avoda is pasul. Says the Mishnah further, shlo rechutz yadayim v'raglayim. There's a requirement, also from Pesukim, that a kohen must wash his hands and feet prior to doing avoda. The water that's used for washing must be from a kli sharas, a consecrated vessel. That's called the kior, the laver is what's used. For that purpose, and the way they wash their hands, they put the right hand over the right foot, and the water goes on then, and then they put the left hand over the left foot, and the water goes on them, and that's the washing. That's a requirement. If the kohen hasn't washed his hands or his feet properly, then his avoda is pasul. Nowadays, we have some remnant of that, vestige of that halacha, that we who are doing, say, you're doing a davening, your tefillah, your shacharis minchamarav, so we are required to wash our hands before davening, as in some level of memory of that. Okay. Then you have the Arel. An Arel is a person who's not circumcised. His avoda is also pasul b'diavad. Sometimes a kohen has like a halachic justification for not being circumcised in his bris milah. For example, let's say he had two other brothers, both of whom, when they were circumcised, you know, they essentially bled out and died. So there's this, say, you know, clotting problem in the family. So then the rule is that the kohen shouldn't get a bris milah because he could also die. But nevertheless, since he's an Arel, he's not circumcised, he certainly cannot do the avoda, his avoda is pasul b'diavad. Then the Tameh, any kohen is Tameh. Now, we already said that Tevul Yom and even the Mechusak Kippurim, their avoda is pasul. So for sure, a regular Tameh person, let's say, who touched a dead rat, and I was Rishon L'Tumah, he's definitely pasul. This is what's called Lo Zuv Af Zu, this is Zuv Ein Tzarech Lomar Zu. Once you've said the Mechusak Kippurim and the Tevul Yom, their avoda is pasul. So for sure, a regular Tameh person is pasul, but Mishnah says it anyways, does it sometimes. Then you have the Yoshev. Yoshev is someone who's sitting down. If a Kohen, when he does the Avoda, is sitting, any of those four Avodas actually, so then that is the Avoda when a person is sitting is Pasul, must be standing, and therefore if he's sitting with those Kamitah, etc., the Korban is Pasul. Same goes for Omen Al-Gabi Kalim, Al-Gabi Behema, Al-Gabi Ragli Chavero. If the Kohen is not standing barefoot with his feet in direct contact with the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, that Avoda is Pasul. And we give three examples here, each one sort of stepping up. The first is if he's standing on kelim, standing on whether it's shoes or a carpet or whatever, even kli sharis, you know, consecrated vessel in the base of Mikdash, there's a chatzitza interposition between his feet and the floor, and therefore invalid. Al-Gabi Behema means he's standing on an animal. Now you might have thought, because an animal is like flesh, and there's a rule, which is min b'mino eino chotzetz, if what's standing between two things is of the same type, same min, it's not considered a chatzitza. So just for example, you're required to be holding your arba minim, your lulav, and directly with your hands. And yet Ashkenazim have the custom of taking their lulav and their, you know, their other three minim, they put them inside the kaishakalach, that funny like so palm woven holder. And that means if you're holding the palm woven holder thing, the kaishakal, so your hands aren't directly touching your lulav, right? Or your aravos. So nevertheless, that's considered to be not a problem because since it's the kaishakal is woven out of lulav material, palm fronds, so it's considered min bamino and it's not chotet, not a chatzitza. So the same kind of thinking is, you might have thought, since your feet are flesh and the animal is flesh, that's not considered a chatzitza. wrong. It is a chatzitza. And even if you have al gabi ragli chavero, if your feet on top of your friend, you're barefoot, your fellow Kohen is barefoot, you're standing on his feet when you're doing the avoda, also possible. Again, you might thought this is like, you know, human foot to human foot, not min bamino, shouldn't be a chatzitza. Wrong, it is a chatzitza because, you know, he could, he's not going to keep that foot beneath his foot forever, so it's considered a chatzitza as well. In all those cases, pasal, even b'di'evid, the avoda is pasal. Now, the Mishnah goes on to say, what about kumetz b'tzmol? If he does the kumetz, the extraction of the kumetz with his left hand. Now, avoda in the Beis Hamikdash must be done always with the right hand. Therefore, that's going to be pasal. But ben b'seira omer yachzir v'yachzir v'yikmotz b'yamin. According to ben b'seira, if you do the kumetz with your right hand, that is not valid. But it's not, doesn't invalidate the whole offering, because that's essentially, he says, that's like a halachically insignificant activity. What do I mean by that? For example, you know, I don't know, if some of the mincha fell on the floor, that doesn't make it, doesn't invalidate the mincha, you could put it back up in the container or whatever, you know, and so the same idea, if he took it out with his left hand, it's the same as taking it out and putting it on the floor. It just means it was not halachically significant. Now, you'll have to put the part that was extracted with the left hand back into the container, the klisharis, because it has to be the full requisite shiur, the requisite amount of mincha. So you have to put it back in, but then you can get a second chance to do it again, says Ben Becerra. So that's what Ben Becerra says. Literally, it says Ben Becerra Omer Yachazir, put it back, meaning put the portion that was taken out with the left hand back into the container, the Yachzir Yikmot, and try to now do a kmitza properly, but you mean with your right hand. Ben Becerra actually holds the same kind of logic would apply to other Sulam in our Mishnah as well. In other words, the Kohen who is not, like the Tzar who's not a Kohen does the Avodah, so that's just not halachically significant, or if he's not wearing the right clothing, not halachically significant. And again, you could try a second time. In all those cases, halacha is not like Ben Becerra. We say it is halachically significant, and if a non-Kohen or a Kohen doing the Avodah with the left hand invalidates the whole Korban, that you don't get a second chance. Now, the next part of the Mishnah, the last part of the Mishnah here, is talking about the idea that just as there's a precise amount in terms of the requisite shear that has to go into making the mincha. Again, we said typically that's an isaron of flour, 43.2 eggs, roughly a gallon of flour, and a lug of shemen, a lug, basically half a liter of olive oil. That's the mixture. You mix those two together to get your meal. Okay, typically that's kind of the recipe. And that you have to have exactly that amount. In addition, the kometz must be the exact right amount. If you take too big of a kometz or too small of a kometz, so then you again, you haven't done the obligation, and it becomes invalid. Therefore, Mishnah says, kamatz, if a person, the Kohen, takes his hand, he like thrusts it into the mincha to get his kometz amount. Va'ala b'yado tzror, and inside the kometz is mixed not just flour and oil, but also a pebble, o gargir melach, or a piece of salt, you know, a salt crystal, because you're going to be putting salt on the mincha before you put it on the mizbeach, but anyways, if you have a salt crystal or pebble, for that matter, you're lacking the full kometz amount. Oh, koret shel lavona, or if you also have like a piece of lavona, again, the frankincense, which is sitting on top of the mincha before the kohen does the kmitza, what he's supposed to do is push the frankincense pieces to the side, then do kmitza on just the flour and oil, and then he'll like, you know, put it into klisharis, he'll add then the frankincense also. But the kometz must be a full kometz. If it's missing some of the shear, it's not valid, and therefore, if mixed in as a koret shel lavona, a piece of lavona is also invalid. In all those cases, pasal. The whole korban is pasal, even by the evid. Mipnei amru, because they said, meaning there's a tradition, rabbinic tradition that precedes the Mishnah, ha-kometz ha-yaser va-cheser, pasal. If it's yaser, if it's more than the kometz, or it's chaser, it's deficient in the kometz volume, then puzzle, it's puzzle in b'di'avid. So ezu ha-yaser, what's an example of being too big, an excessively large kometz? For example, shekamto mevoratz, it's like bulging out the sides, more than just what fits underneath those three fingers. He's got like bulging out the sides. Now, fine, between his fingers, even that matter. So if it's too much, no good. El ha-chaser, v'chaser, what does it mean to be chaser, deficient? That's besides what we said a second ago, if it's not all mincha meal, it's also, you know, a pebble. But a different example is shekamtso baroshe etzbosav. If he does the kmitza and he does it, literally means with the tips of his fingers. What we're saying here is this: when you do your fingers, but you essentially, you're extending your thumb and your pinky finger, and you're folding down your three middle fingers. So if you're curling the fingers such that like the farthest knuckle, the one that's close to your fingernail, is bent, is folded, so then you've got like a tight three fingers in the middle. It's not big enough. Try, if you do that, if you roll your fingers tight, so then you'll see you're not going to be able to shove your left pinky in that space. That's not how you do it. What you do, it again, is you fold the fingers over the whole palm of the hand without bending those knuckles, the knuckles that's closest to the fingernail. Okay, and if you do that, keeping that part of your finger straight, and you kind of bend your three fingers over the whole of your palm of your hand, you'll see you can smush in your pinky from your left hand in that space. That's the volume you're looking for. So if you do the fingertips too close in, bending them in, so then you won't get a full komatz amount, and that's going to be chaser. Okay? Ketzer u'osa. So what do? You should be poshet etz ba'osa val pas yado, like I described. You extend your middle three fingers over the full palm of your hand without bending that furthest knuckle at all. Now I just want to speak out here for a second. The way that you're going to extract the komatz, essentially sort of like you shove that hand, the hang ten, three fingers over hand shape, into the bowl that has this meal. The meal essentially is the kind of consistency of oily peanut butter, and it'll squish into the cavity by pushing hand firmly down. Now remember, that's how most menachas are. But remember, you could have the fried machlas and marcheshes, or the baked chalos and rakikin. So those are essentially like loaves of bread. Those are types of bread. And those, how are you going to get them into your, I can take a koma to that. The answer is, before the kohen does the kamitza, you do the psisa, you crumble it up into crumbs. If that's the case, when the kohen sticks his hand in the bowl with full of crumbs of whatever it is, I think you can think of it as being like matzah or pizza bread, kind of like that, like the Sephardic matzah, or something that's going to be like, essentially pancakes. Whatever it is, you will get crumbs, and of course some crumbs will project out from the protrude out from the fingers. So then what you have to do is the kohen has to use his thumb and his pinky little finger to knock off the excess, so that all that he's using for the komatz is just what fits within those three fingers. The Gemara says that's quite a difficult avodah to do, to use the pinky to get off the excess, etc. But anyways, that's what you have to do. So again, he'll sort of jab his folded over three fingers hand into the bowl that has the psis in, the crumbled up pieces, and then what's excess he'll sprinkle off or crumble off with his thumb and pinky finger. Okay? And then the rest, what's left behind, that's the komatz you're looking for, and it has to be a full shear, and that's what goes inside the klisharis for the avodah.